Lately, one of the most common questions I get is, do you really love the Bare Face skincare that you talk and you post about? Well, the answer is yes. I've been consistently using a routine that a Bare Face skincare specialist selected for me during my free consultation, and my skin is glowing. The texture has improved, and I love how simple the routine is. Just from following Bare Face founder, nurse practitioner Jordan Harper on Instagram, I've learned so much about my skin and what it needs to look healthier. You too can text one of Jordan's skincare specialist for a complimentary consult and get started on the routine that is best for your skin type. They have a couple of new products that I think you'll be excited to try too, including the Everyday Hero reusable eye patches. We love that Bare Face Girls are big fans of the podcast, so they have offered Got It From My Mama listeners 15% off their first purchase by using the code MAMA15 at checkout. So if you guys follow our Instagram or watch the episodes on YouTube, you've met Tucker, our golden retriever who greets our podcast guests whenever they come over. Unfortunately, my little wild man loves to run through the woods on our property, and naturally, he gets dirty, which means he doesn't smell great. Fortunately, I can sprinkle Coat Defense's daily preventative powder on Tucker as a dry shampoo. It's almost like a repellent for dirt. Since we started brushing this into his coat, he stays so much cleaner. He hardly ever scratches anymore, and we don't have to bathe him as often, which is great news for us and for Tucker. We do love this product, and you can try it on your dog or your cat by visiting CoatDefense.com. Be sure to use the code MAMA15 to receive 15% off your purchase. Okay, I am hoping that you already listened to the Ellie Holcomb episode, which is episode number 35 that we put out just before this one. And I'm telling you that after listening to both of these mamas, you're going to want to be adopted into the Bannister Holcomb crew. Today, we are talking to the mom of Drew Holcomb. And if you're not on the Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors train, hop aboard. We are longtime fans in our family. Nancy Holcomb is fantastic. She has carried a heavy load as a mom with such grace and relishes in the joy that each of her children and now grandchildren bring. You are going to love getting to know Nancy Holcomb. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for joining the Got It From My Mama podcast. I thought it would be so neat to have a week where we feature Ellie's mom and then a week where we feature Drew's mom. So for our listeners, make sure you listen to both episodes so you get a true appreciation of everyone's favorite, Drew and Ellie Holcomb.
That's true.
We were just talking about the fact that you kind of hit the jackpot on, you know, the in-laws for your son because, you know, the families interact a lot and share holidays and all the other things, grandkids, right?
We don't even see each other enough. I mean, that's how much we love them. They are pure cream of the crop people. And, you know, when I married my husband, my mother was so wise. She said, you better love your mother-in-law like you love me because that's who gave you your husband. And I did. I loved my mother-in-law and Ellie loves me and I love her and I love her mom and dad. I love her siblings. I got the greatest video of them all dancing together at Moon River, you know, and Debbie's such a photographer. So she goes, get a picture of it. It was Drew and Ellie. I mean, Drew and Emmy Lou were looking at the stage and I got them from behind and then I got all of her family dancing. So it was really cool.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's so sweet. Golly, you're already giving us wisdom right at the beginning of the podcast. Like those mother-in-laws matter, right?
Oh, nobody realizes they're going to be a mother-in-law someday. And I tell you, you can make up your mind to love somebody you don't feel extra loving towards because they're part of your life, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I've been thinking on this and you probably have some perspective, but I heard the other day that for a mother of a son, especially when they get to those older teenage years, mine are both in their early 20s now, but that it can feel like the longest, hardest breakup ever.
It's almost like a pit in your stomach.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting.
And also when you realize I have to be very, very wise at what I do say to both of them or to Drew now, because your words matter a lot when you're little, when they're little and when they're younger. But when you're an adult, it's like, man, I got to do more praying than talking.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And sometimes us mamas aren't the best at that, are we?
I'm for sure not.
Okay. I'm going to go back and tell you a little bit about our super fandom of your son. And of course, Ellie as well. But my boys and I did a little road trip when they were younger and we went to the first Moon River Festival in Memphis.
How fun. at the Levitt Shell.
Yeah, at Levitt Shell in Memphis, which is where you still live, right? You're in Memphis.
Right.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. So we went there and my oldest son kind of turned us on to Drew's music, and we instantly, it kind of became what we played in the household all the time. And then still to this day, we go to Drew and Ellie's Christmas show every year. It's just become tradition at the Skirmerhorn Theater. So, yeah. Or Symphony Hall. So
we'll meet you there this year too.
And then my other story, which I think is really extra special that I'm getting to sit here and talk to you today, is we were at a Drew and the Neighbors show at the Ryman several years ago. And we sat behind you and your husband, my husband did. And of course, my son, who's now an artist in country music, he just turned 23. At the time, this would have been really early for him. He probably would have been early, you know, middle high school years or whatever. So I couldn't even imagine that I would ever be in similar shoes to yours. You right. know, I knew that was his dream and what he wanted to pursue, but you know, we all are like, oh yeah, well, I hope it happens. But I just remember sitting there and I can't remember what tipped me off. It was something either people sitting with you said, but at some point I finally just leaned up and I said, are you Drew's parents? you and him both were so proud. And it's like, yes, we are. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this has to be so fun for you guys.
You know, it feels surreal. It really does. I mean, feel like he's ours, like, you know what I mean? It's a fun time.
I say that all the time about, it might sound a little bit odd, but I know you're going to get it. But when he's on stage or performing or singing, I'm just a fan. Like, it's like I'm watching someone I'm a fan of, not, you know, a kid I gave birth to.
That is exactly how it feels. It really does. It's like people talking behind me, I want to go, shh, I paid money to be here. I want to hear this.
Yeah. And you guys were not in any special seats or anything like that. You were sitting back in the pews just like we were, you know, that kind of thing. But that's another just kind of a fun memory. So I was telling Debbie that story and I was like, okay, I really hope she'll do the podcast with me. So thank you so much. Okay, let's talk about young Drew. I can't even really imagine Drew as a boy because he just seems like, you know how he's just kind of has that persona of like this old man in this you know, young guy's body, because he just seems so wise.
He's been like a little old man.
Really?
Very serious. And I watch his son, Huck, who loves history. Matter of fact, at Moon River, he was describing a battle in World War II with two American ships who went against 19 Japanese. He knew all the names of it. And he was telling, he was actually telling Amy Grant's manager about it. And I was like, I don't even know the name of one ship that ever was in any battle. And Drew was like that. He knew all the capitals of the states by the time he was five. He knew all the president's names. And he was very serious. Like, one of my funniest stories is when he was a little boy, he was probably barely four, maybe three. Uh-huh. He was sitting in front of the TV and it was a Roadrunner cartoon, you know, and he just, he said, stop the music and start the talking. I mean, he just liked this, you know, the serious talking. He just was like a little adult, very early.
That's so funny. Yeah. Wow. And so that's when he was younger and he actually ended up pursuing, he wanted to study history, right?
Right. He was a history major for most of his education. And then he, I can't remember if that was how it ended up. That's terrible. I don't know. But
it's been a bit.
And how it was interesting how music became sort of his love. I mean, even as a little boy, he'd be in the back when we'd be listening to music and he'd be doing his drums, hitting the thimble, you know, like this, done on it and following it. But never, he was kicked out of piano lessons in the seventh grade.
Goodness, tell us about that.
Not wasting your money. He's got a lot of talent and he's not practicing and he's cutting up. So I was so angry with him. And he said, but I'm not teaching him piano. So it's so fun to me because he is so musical. And I think sometimes that's the case. They have to find it on their own.
Yeah.
One of the things was he was playing football in high school and he just said, I don't want to play. It was his either his junior year or senior year. He just said, I don't want to play football next year. I'm going to do baseball. And Hamp said, well, you're not going to sit at home every afternoon. So you're going to take guitar lessons or something. And so he was and you're going to practice. And he did. And he started playing the guitar and practicing. And, even when he first had a studio that was a friend of ours listen to his music, and we were going to kind of like nix it, you know what I mean? In other words, there was a dear friend, Paul Ebersole, And he said, would you just listen to some of these songs that Drew's written and just tell him if it's terrible or if he has any talent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I don't want to do it in front of him. I want him to record, come to the studio. My guy will record him and then I'll listen to it on my own.
Is this when he's in high school?
No, he was out of college. He graduated from UT in 3.5 years. He did music for RUF and the Cross at UT. That's where he met Ellie. And
the intention at UT was to go on to law school, wasn't it?
Right. He was thinking of law school and maybe even a professor. He was thinking about being a professor. Uh-huh. And so we were at a golf tournament up in New York and the phone rang and Paul said, I think he's got it, Hamp. And Hamp goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, he's a pretty good guitar player, but they're a dime a dozen. He said his voice is untrained, but I know it'll get better. But the amazing thing is his lyrics are like the lyrics of an old man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. I would say if I was trying to think about, like, how do I describe, like, what it is that, you know, hits us and fans about his music. But it's like he can take these mundane, ordinary, everyday things, but the way that he tells the story or puts it into words. I mean, there's so many of his songs that come to mind, but even like Live Forever, you know, something like that. It's like the most simplistic message, but told in the most artistic way.
Right. I'm always overcome by it. I really, he's a writer. He's a storyteller and a writer. And I hope he writes a book someday because he wrote a lot about our son that passed away when he was.
Yes, I want you to tell me more about that. Yeah. We should back up though and say we're going to talk a lot about Drew, but you're a mom of three, right?
Yeah.
You had his brother, Jay, and then his sister.
Yeah. So Claire was 16 months when Drew was born and they were always like this.
Yeah.
Then I was pregnant with our third child and Jay was born in May when Drew turned 3 a month later.
Okay.
No, he was born in June. So Drew had just turned 3 and Claire was 4.5, had no idea he was special needs. It had been a normal pregnancy and he was born with spina bifida. And what was so sweet about it is when Hamp went home, our neighbor was keeping the boys because our parents wanted to be at the hospital. They were keeping Drew and Sam, Claire, and Sam had not been born yet, of course. And we were told never to have any more children. I'll tell you about that later. But he went and picked him up and he told him, you know, you have a special little brother. He's probably never going to walk. And Drew said, well, will he be able to ride the three wheeler? We used to have a driveway and they'd run their three wheeler down it. Mm-hmm. And you know, those little tight three wheelers.
Yeah,
and Hamp said,
yeah.
No, he is never going to be able to ride a three wheeler. And Drew said, that's okay. He can ride on the back of mine. Drew always had that mentality. And so did Claire. It was really, it's amazing how God had equipped them for this situation. And they had a lot of love and ability to laugh, even when I didn't feel like laughing.
Oh, you know? I can only imagine. And Drew always posts the sweetest tributes to his brother, Jay. And am I right? He was 17 when Jay passed?
Yeah, Drew was 17 and Jay was almost 14.
Almost 14.
Okay. Today's 14, yeah.
What do you remember about being a mom? You talk about the way that the Lord equipped your kids, you know, to have the right capacity in heart and compassion for their special brother. How were you equipped to handle those hard days?
I my mom's best friend had a son that I had a daughter that was cerebral palsy and her other best friend had a son. And I didn't know the daughter because she had been very involved and had died when I was a little girl, but I grew up with the boy that was 7 years older than I was. He was, and his sister was my best friend. And I always thought, don't ever do that to me, God. And when I was in labor and Jay was born and there a hush came over the waiting room, I remember saying, God, don't do this to me. And I heard the Lord say to my heart, I will give you whatever you need for whatever I give you. And it was daily. It was hourly at times. One of the things that equipped me was I had a husband that was literally born to serve. I mean, you know, some people are born to serve and some are born to be served. I was born to be served and he was born.
Amen,
to
girl.
So he just has been an amazing partner to have in this, you know, all these years. I guess we've been married 40. I don't even know how many years. You married 76. I can't remember how many years that is. I'm terrible with math and he's a mathematician. So But anyway,
So while you were pregnant with Jay, none of the scans, nothing, none of the technology, I know it's not the same technology, but.
Yeah. Ultrasounds were still, you didn't have them all the time. And I'd had one with Claire. I'd had one with Drew, and I had not had one with Jay. It was a lot of movement, and he was hyperactive from the chest up. His arms, he was always wiggling.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It was just, we were totally stunned.
Wow.
And, in some ways I'm glad, although I do encourage people to know and accept it ahead of time, because they are a gift. They are some of the most special children that have ever been born. I mean,
I can only imagine the joy that he brought to your family. And
on a bit for the kids, they have what's called cocktail party syndrome. So they're maybe not quite as smart as they look like, maybe struggle a little bit with learning and IQ, but they literally talk to everybody. So they're a joy. And he was a joy. He really
and
was.
And the name of it is cocktail party syndrome?
Cocktail party syndrome. And it's just, they know how to go up to strangers and ask them anything. And I'd be in the room going, get back over here. You know, whenever we were in the doctor's office. I mean,
ask
all the receptionists, how much do you weigh? How old are you? You know, things like that. And anyway, we have a lot of laughter that stemmed around his life. So.
Oh, I'm sure. And then Sam came along how much later?
I was told not to have any more children, that it was very likely we might have another spina bifida baby. I now know it's a vitamin B deficiency. That's why they encourage you to take folic acid when you're pregnant. I have celiac. I wasn't diagnosed with celiac, which is you don't absorb your vitamin C. That's one of the things with your gut does not absorb vitamin C. So it was somewhat digestion problems on my part is why he was born with that, because I had not so low on vitamin B, not C, vitamin B.
B, okay.
So we got pregnant. We foolish, and we were, you know, we were using birth control, but not all the time.
It doesn't work all the time, right? Or
I wanted another child. I really did.
You did.
Sam, when I was pregnant with Sam, they told us he probably had spina bifida. And we went ahead and had an amniocentesis because we had seen a couple of children born with the hydrocephalus, the large heads, and they were just starting to develop where you could do surgery in utero. So we wanted to know everything ahead of time. We had no plans to abort because we knew how wonderful these children were. But it was about, and we thought we would go have the amnio and find out that day. And they said, you won't know for 6 weeks.
So
6 weeks, I prayed he'd be a boy so that they would be together. And Hamp did too, and we never discussed it. We just kind of were quiet about what we were praying, and we were both praying about, you know, everything, but not the sex of the baby.
Right.
And then they called and said, you have a very healthy baby boy. And I called Hamp, and we both burst into tears. And it was just, you know, we both wanted another boy.
Wow. And how old was Jay when you had Sam?
22 months old.
Oh, so you didn't wait too long. I mean, it kind of just happened, but okay.
13 months old and only weighed 10 pounds when I got pregnant with Sam. So when Sam was 3 months old, he weighed more than Jay. It was like I had twins because I had to carry both of them. So
I'm sure those were some tough years for you, for sure.
We had a great group of friends. Oh my gosh. It took a village. Everybody raised him with us. They really did.
Yeah. So, that's pretty awesome. That's really special. So let's talk a little bit about, this path that Drew was on. It's interesting because you're thinking law professor. Did he actually study at St. Andrews? Didn't he get a scholarship when he went abroad?
He got his master's in theological literature, I think. I'm terrible. Hamp's the one you ought to be interviewing.
Then I'd have to change the name. But got it from my daddy.
But theological literature. So he was on the road, traveling a lot of free time in the day. Daytime, you know, in between shows. And he said, Dad, you know, I really think I want to get my master's. And Hamp said, great. And we're so proud of him.
So
and
the master's came after the music, right?
He was already doing music. He wasn't just like super successful.
Yeah.
He was still doing a lot of college shows on the road.
Right.
Wasted time. And I can't remember if he was married. I think he was maybe got engaged during that period of time. I'm not good.
Okay.
That, so.
I'm looking for a quote I wanted to read because I think it's an interesting part of his story. But this path he was on,
he froze.
I mean, it didn't really sound like the perfect match for somebody also striving to be a musician. For you, did that come a little bit out of the blue that this kid who's on this path toward law school and is so highly educated and in his love for knowledge and information to say, I want to go travel and be a musician.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Matter of fact, I've struggled with it. I when he came to Hamp and said he wanted to do music, Hamp said, "Do you promise me that you'll work hard?"
That's what I was going to tell you. Let me read this quote because I read this in an article and I think it's so, I just love the way he responded because, you know, like we said, if your kids go into law school, you see right. a certain future for them, right. a certain amount of success and being taken care of and smart decisions. So this had to be a little bit of a punch, but this is what Hal Drew put it in this interview. He said he took his dad to breakfast to tell him the news. And his dad said, "But promise me if it ever gets to where you know that it's not going to work out, you'll have the courage to walk away from it. Music is a really hard job. It doesn't happen for everybody. It requires not only talent, but a good bit of luck. So just promise me that you'll know when to walk away if you need to." Drew said he made the promise and then they went to a guitar shop and bought a guitar.
Right. And I don't even know that they discussed that with me at that point. Maybe they did. I was in denial.
They might have told you a little more gently, right?
Well, when Drew told me he wanted to do music, I just said, "Will you promise me this, that I will always be able to understand the words when you sing?"
Wow.
And he has really honored that. Now, I should have also added that I agree with all the words.
Uh-oh. Oh, what are some words you don't agree with? Are you going to share those?
There's a few. So, well, smoke them if you got them threw me for a loop for a while. And I understand it now because it's what they used to tell the young boys in World War II before they went into battle. If you got them, smoke them because you're probably going to die. You know.
Yeah. But only Drew Holcomb would know that when he's singing that song because the rest of us don't think like that.
So here are my grandchildren, you know, 6 to 10 are in the back seat singing, "Smoke them if you got them." And I'm like, "I'm going to kill Drew." then I kind of said, "Well, maybe it won't be that famous of a song." And then it's one of his beloved songs. And I found myself singing with all my heart, "Smoke them if you got them," with Debbie Bannister sitting next to me. She's a little more free than I am. And I respect that and honor that in her. She's taught me a lot.
Oh my goodness. That is crazy. Yes. I love that. So in school, tell me when Ellie Holcomb comes into the picture, or no, I should say Ellie Bannister comes into the picture. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I cannot imagine you just not being anything but overjoyed to meet this little ray of sunshine.
Well, what's interesting is Drew, his freshman year, started hearing about, "Oh, is Ellie Bannister," with a lot of friends that had gone to high school with her. Mm-hmm. And some of her friends that were older were telling Drew about her and just this incredible girl and all this. And then she comes when he was a sophomore, she comes to UT. And then we start hearing, "Wow, I'm singing some, this Ellie Bannister, she got a beautiful voice. She's a really neat girl." And we could kind of tell there might be some interest on his part. And then he got up his nerve to ask her to the Fiji formal. And one of her best friends, who was his good friend, said, "Drew, don't do it. Don't ask her. She'll break your heart. She breaks everybody's heart." And not because she wants to, because they just fall in love with her.
Yeah, she's probably easy to fall in love with, right?
"Friend, I want to ask her." And so they went, and he really did kind of flip for her. And then they got back, and I think she sensed that he was more interested in her than she was interested in him.
Tucker and I have a product that we are so excited to tell you about. Coat Defense has been a game changer in trying to keep Tucker smelling good and looking handsome, even though he loves to roam all over our property and get dirty. Coat Defense is a daily preventative powder that reduces the number of baths I have to give Tucker. Do you know how hard it is to wash an 80-pound golden retriever? It also eliminates the bacteria that can cause odor in the first place. And unlike a typical deodorant or spray, Coat Defense is healthier. It doesn't mask the odor, it eliminates it. So there's less scratching, paw licking, and head shaking, and a whole lot more cuddle time with mom because he just stays so much fresher. Tucker's friends at Coat Defense are offering you 15% off to try the daily preventative powder or any of the other awesome products they offer for your pet's health. Just use code MAMA15 at checkout. Lately, one of the most common questions I get is, do you really love the Bare Face skincare that you talk and you post about? Well, the answer is yes. I have been consistently using a routine that a Bare Face skincare specialist selected for me during my free consultation, and my skin is glowing. The texture has improved, and I love how simple the routine is. Just from following Bare Face founder, nurse practitioner Jordan Harper on Instagram, I've learned so much about my skin and what it needs to look healthier. You too can text one of Jordan's skincare specialist for a complimentary consult and get started on the routine that is best for your skin type. They have a couple of new products that I think you'll be excited to try too, including the Everyday Hero reusable eye patches. We love that Bare Face Girls are big fans of the podcast, so they have offered Got It From My Mama listeners 15% off their first purchase by using the code MAMA15 at checkout.
And so she kind of ignored him and kind of, you know, went around. And finally he said, may I go to breakfast with you? I want to talk to you about something. And he was counseled through a guy that had mentored him and said, tell her how you feel. And he goes, I understand. I know you understand that I have more feelings for you than you probably have for me, but I never thought you would be the type of person to be rude and ignore a friend. And she burst into tears and asked for forgiveness immediately. And that just made him love her all the more.
My goodness. Well, I think Debbie told us in the episode with her that she had put Drew in the friend zone, but he was the person that she was talking about all the time. And I think Debbie was kind of like, okay, listen to yourself.
I'm grateful for that. Yeah. So anyway, he waited patiently. He was a man of intense patience, planned it. He ended up finishing early, came back to Memphis. He said, Dad, I've got to get back to you. I've got to get back to Knoxville. Because I'm a loser, and she was starting to get interested in somebody else, and he just patiently waited on her.
Yeah, he pursued her.
Fell in love with him, and we're so glad.
Yeah. Three grandkids later, and all kinds of stories to tell from the road of touring together, and all of that.
I'm very proud of him, and when people say how much they love him, I just say, keep him in your prayers, because fame is a hard thing. People love and want to follow and worship famous people in a way that's, they're just human too.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of pressure, and they've handled it well. And I keep them in my prayers all the time. And it is hard for your children too. I ask for the Lord to protect my three grandbabies, because they're gone a lot. And that when they're home, they're 100% on. And it's just, you know, you never get to choose what your family situation is.
Right.
And they're doing, and God has given them the most precious people to help with their children.
Yeah.
Best gifts every time. They've had three of the finest nannies in the world that are part of our family.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so special. One of the interesting things about once Drew kind of gets going, he's playing, like you said, the frat parties and the college gigs and all that. But I mean, he was kind of a road dog for a while, wasn't he? Just like intensely.
He is a very hard worker, and he has a song. You're always late and I'm always on time. And say, Ellie, the band is pulling out at 9 o'clock. And I mean, 9 o'clock, and all the band is ready at 8:45. And then Ellie's struggling to get there on time. And he wants to be on time. And that means 10 minutes early for him.
Yeah. Which that's not a normal trait for an artist.
Right. Yeah. And one of the reasons he's been so successful, he's very persistent and very determined and honorable. I mean, it's been a sweet thing when we could do Moon River and, you know, we'll go up to the edge and the guard will look at us kind of like, you know, checking us out. We'll say we're Drew's parents, and they'll say, well, he's one of the finest artists I've ever worked with. And, you know, a man of integrity. And that's about as much as you hope to ever hear about your children. So.
Oh my goodness. It means so much more than all the other accolades, doesn't it?
Wow. It really does.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So at some point, I think that I've heard Drew talk about this, but you guys kind of sat down and put together somewhat of a unique business plan for him. There's some fundraising that went on, and his story is not one of like, oh, somebody heard him and discovered him and wanted to make him a star. And I mean, he worked for this so hard.
Right, he did. Hamp came up with the idea to offer a percentage of part of his business, and Hamp gave him 20 names of his friends that he thought would appreciate it as an investment, making more money than you could make in the market. And within 3 days, everyone but one of them, I think, had said yes. And they didn't want it to end, but it wasn't, you know, you'll get I'll pay you back and you'll get this amount of investment on your money. And it was, and then he was paid a salary and he stuck with his salary. And if he made more than that, it was put in a pot and then he'd get a little bonus. And I mean, it was very, very well disciplined and planned out. And
this was no label, no traditional situation at all. This was him. Yeah.
Right. And then when he had, then when everybody had been, you know, bought out and made their good percentage, he had a dinner. He and Ellie had a dinner at Folks Folly, which is a wonderful steakhouse in Memphis, and had a hand signed, really nice guitar for every couple that had helped him get start. And then they sang to everybody privately. It was really a sweet night. So
that's special. Yeah. And so all those people kind of helped launch and get him where he is. Yeah. It's such a unique way that he did that. But look at all the people who said yes so easily because they believed in him. And I'm sure it's because they believed in his character as much as his talent.
Yeah. I think that was it for sure. So. Yeah,
for sure. What have been some of the fun mom moments for you, either places that he's played or just opportunities that have come to your family because of this path that Drew's pursued?
Well, I think one of my most fun nights really has to do with Ellie. When they were singing together and then she kept wanting every song to be about Jesus. And he said, I'm Jesus through the back door. You're Jesus through the front door. And, you know, I'm rock and roll and not, you know, not in the Christian genre so much. And so she put together a crowd GoFundMe and did great. And then they had a concert in downtown Nashville and it was unbelievable. And I walked up to him afterwards and I said, Drew, I don't know too many men that can handle their wife being more famous than they are, but I think you're going to be one of them. And he smiled and he said, I could not be more proud of her and I'm all for it. And he has been so supportive of Ellie's success. He's the one that gets the childcare lined up. He's the one that knows where she's going, you know, plus their Samantha who takes care of all their business stuff and Paul Samantha Steele. But I mean, he lines up the babysitting.
Wow.
She won't even know where she's going to sing the next day. And he knows all the details and he's like his dad. He's a servant. He really is a servant. He's a stone faced servant. You don't really see him have a lot of facial expression. You know, like when they're on the stage, Ellie's just looking at him like he's the most loved and adorable man. Drew, at least turn and look at her like you love her, but don't want to put in fake, you know, stuff for the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that hat on and like the kind of serious, it's like the little child that you described of the little serious old man.
And I'm not showing, I mean, she knows I love her and everybody knows I love her. And, you know, he has gotten more emotive in that way, but part of
what did you think? I know a lot of fans, you know, Drew's so funny. You're like when he's had to post, you know, I don't know, sometime in the last couple of years or whatever about like when people get mad that Ellie's not out with them. Like, I mean, that had to be, I mean, I don't even know. Like, were you like, yes, she needs to go do her own thing? Or do you miss it when she's not on stage with them too?
Oh, I do. I always love it when she comes on stage, but I'm really proud of him that he has the guts to go out there without her and have a few, where's Ellie? You know, and he'll give it right back to him. Like, hey man, shut up. You know, got me or whatever.
I thought that was so funny. I was like, okay, good for you. Like this was started as Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors. Yes, she was a part of the Neighbors, but you know, we can do this without her.
You know, you asked me about another fun thing was the cover songs they did in COVID. They were so creative.
Put on social media as they,
you know, covered a song and did it in their kitchen. The kitchen.
Yes. Cover. So good too.
I don't know. He really has a knack for coming up with some creative ideas. One of my most fun things is seeing how much he loves Sam and Claire and their spouses being a part of whatever he does. Like at Moon River, he comes and gets us and come back here and go here and do this. And, you know, is very loving about including us in his success.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I bet that is pretty special for the whole family. Because, I mean, you've all been on the journey from the beginning. And I'm sure they, in turn, are his biggest cheerleaders as well, Sam and Claire. One of the things that really got Drew Holcomb, I feel like his name and his music out there, was when all of the sync opportunities with television started happening for him. That had to be
so much fun. Like when he would have, one of the mornings, it was Christmas morning, and Live Forever, we were at our cousin's house, and all of a sudden it was when NBA, the basketball had a strike, and then they were finally having a game.
Yeah.
And they did this montage with players like Magic Johnson playing with who was playing now. And it was a video. And someone had taken his song, thinking he's a young artist and probably didn't know what to do, you know, wouldn't. And Live Forever was the song that went with this video. So we called Drew up and go, thanks a lot for telling us you're going to be on national television. He goes, I didn't know about it.
So you randomly heard it.
We randomly heard everybody started calling him, and they had not asked his permission for the song. And he couldn't really enjoy the fame of that till all that was settled legally. But
isn't that a story he wrote for his sister?
Yeah, actually, he and Ellie were young married, starving young couple, and they were eating with Claire and Nathan in Nashville at dinner and fighting over Sister Schubert rolls at dinner. And then Claire and Nathan decided to go teach in Panama at Panama Canal at a school, Crossroads Academy, Christian Academy. And Drew and Ellie were devastated because they had a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and a 6-month-old that they just adored. And he literally sobbed, and he went home that night and wrote that song for his nieces and his nephew.
Oh, wow.
Because he knew he wasn't going to see him that much. And he has seen him a lot because they were all a part of each other's lives. But
and they didn't stay too long over there, right?
6 years.
Oh, it was 6 years. Okay. Oh,
and
wow.
So very much a part of their lives and all of our stories. We went over and visited several, you know, I went a lot, and probably 2 or 3 times a year. And Drew and Ellie went at least once a year. And we spent Christmas there. And
oh, wow.
He's beloved by those children. So she has her fourth pregnancy was twins. So she has a 17-year-old down to 2 11-year-olds, and they're all living with us right now. They're redoing my mom's house they bought. So we have 11 extra people living in the house. Sam and Chrissy are here with a 2-year-old and an 8-month-old, and then the 5 other kids. So we're having a blast.
Oh my, I was going to say, do you love it?
I love it. And I know it's temporary. I don't know that I want it forever.
Yeah.
But I know it's temporary, and the grocery bill is out the wazoo, and it's fighting to get to the washer and dryer, but we're having a blast.
Oh my goodness. That's so fun. So Sam and Claire, both of their families are home with you?
Yeah. Sam is getting a house ready to sell and put on the market and looking for a house. And then they'll probably all be gone before Christmas. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Drew said he's not coming while we're all here. So we have to get together at the lake, some other things. So.
Do you guys come to Nashville quite a bit?
Yes, we do. We try to get there at least once every 6 weeks, but we also meet at the lake. We have a lake house and we meet there, and that's been a joy.
Oh, good. Yeah. So y'all can kind of all just go decompress a little bit and do all of that. We were just talking about the Live Forever song, and it might have been that song or a different song, but it was also featured in some television, like, wasn't it on Parenthood?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that was so cool for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Emmy Lou was born, I got to go on the road as the nanny while he and Ellie and Paul Steele went all these places in California where they had contacts. And I mean, we put her in a suitcase. Emmy Lou slept in a suitcase, and I slept in the bed with her in a suitcase next to me.
On a bus?
That little. No. We rented a car, but we flew. And by the time she was, I mean, she went to a lot of shows as a baby. When they did the Wine We Drink video, I was in there holding her, trying to keep her quiet. She was not even 2 months old.
Oh, wow.
But it was such an honor they asked me to do that. And we had
Yeah. I look forward to those days of like hoping I get the call up, you know.
being a grandmother is literally, I don't even think I loved my children compared to how I feel about my grandchildren. I'm dead serious. It's like you go to a soccer game or an event and you don't even care if they succeed or mess up. You just love them. I mean,
you just love them.
Unconditional love. It really is.
That's awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. So how many grandkids total are there?
10.
10.
And they're all spread out from 17 down to 11. Claire's 5. And then Emmy Lou is 10 and down to Rivers, who's just turned 5. And then Sam's are 2 and 8.5 months old, almost 9 months old.
You've tomorrow. Got the gamut. You've got like almost launch into college down to like,
and
one not walking.
There's no competition. They just like all love each other. It's been a sweet thing.
Yeah, I bet that's fun to watch all the cousins.
They call themselves the triplets because they're 10 months apart. Claire's twins and Emmy Lou. So they it's a lot of fun.
What's coming up next that's kind of fun for your family? Or like, what are you looking forward to?
Well, we're going to come hear Darius Rucker in Nashville. And we loved watching Darius Rucker. I didn't think I knew him, and I knew almost every song he sang. I'm not a detailed music person. I know a song and I like it, but I never know who sings it. And so that was fun. We got to go to St. Louis. We're going to go to Nashville, and we, Hamp is great. He tries to, I always love their You and Me concerts that are, yes, in February and March. We try to get, I mean, 2 years ago, we went to 10 of them.
Oh my goodness. That's so fun.
Invite clients in the city. We take them to dinner and then take them to a concert. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's fun. Is Hamp still working? Is he practicing?
Yeah. He's okay. 68. He works for Strategic Financial Partners and he loves it. He got a bunch of young guys with him, and I tell you, he loves what he does. So
yeah, that's pretty awesome. But he's flexible enough that y'all can just pick up and go on the road whenever you want to, yes, right?
He's asking me to drive an awful lot while he works on the phone. And I'm like, I'm going to start driving reckless so I don't have to drive. But anyway, Hamp and I've known each other since the third grade.
Oh, you have?
Yes. We met in the third grade. Finally, we got married our senior year in college. So
if you've listened to the podcast, you know, this question is coming, but what would you say that Drew got from his mama?
That's fun. People say that he looks like me, which is hard to say with all that hairy beard, but, I think he got so much of his dad. He really did. But I do think he got his sense of humor. I think he got his sense of humor from me. And I think he loves to read and study and learn. I'm not as smart as Hamp, but I'm a reader to the day. And so Drew's the kind of person that whatever I read or whatever I send him, he will read. And
he will actually read it. Yeah. Was that a big part of your culture, raising your kids? Yes. Was
reading.
Nose in books, reading.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted them to read so bad, and I wanted them to have time alone in the morning, especially reading their Bible. I had grown up waking up with my mother reading her Bible, so I was not an early riser, but I'd hear them running down the stairs for breakfast, and I would sit down and open my Bible and go, good morning. So they'd have a memory of me seeing me read the Bible. So I was a big
Okay. I'd be lying if I have not been there myself and thought about, because I know that they know that how important the word is to me and that I'm in it. But I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody else about skipping or something, but when they're home, I don't want them to think that was a day that I wasn't in the word. So.
Exactly. So anyway, I would be there, but they wouldn't see it, you know? So anyway, yeah. I think the greatest compliment Drew has paid me is that he married somebody that I'm a 7, Ellie's a 7, and his first year of marriage, he goes, I have married my mother, which was a total compliment because she was so adorable and wonderful.
Yeah.
But she loves people and I love people. And Drew loves people, but he loves them differently than, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah. What is his Enneagram number?
He is an 8.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have an 8 son. That can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
And, but nothing about Drew sounds like he was a challenge to raise. Or is there a good story there?
He was, because he was so smart and he would argue with you
in a way.
And uh-huh. I mean, I can remember one time he asked me so many questions and I said, he asked me, do motorcycles have seatbelts? I think he was 4. I said, Drew, I don't know if they have seatbelts or not. And quit asking me all these questions. He goes, Mom, you don't know much, do you? I said, I know more than you will ever ask me about, but you just don't ever ask me what I know.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's so funny. So the sense of humor, maybe a little bit of that, the personality. But I'm like you. That's a big compliment if he said that you and Ellie are similar.
Yeah. And you know what? I always feel like he wants my opinion and he respects that about me. And I'm very grateful. We don't always agree, but couldn't be more proud of him. I would say if I summed up, he seeks truth. Mm. He may get there differently than I think he should, but I know that I can trust that he's seeking truth. And I love that about him. So
that's
he and his dad are really, really, they can talk about anything. They lose me in the conversation. So.
And they're super similar in personality as well, right?
Very similar. Very similar.
Well, it's been so fun to talk to you, and I got to fangirl a little bit and tell you about what big fans we are in general. And then I had to let you know about, of course, I know you've met so many people at shows, but I was like, I'm the girl that was in the pew behind you freaking out.
I was
sitting behind Drew's mama.
It's a total compliment. I can't tell you how much it is. And I'm honored to be able to talk to you. I love looking at your podcast. And I just, you know, people don't realize how much work this is.
Yes.
Podcast and then having to answer people. And I'm proud of you for doing it. I think it's wonderful.
Oh, you're sweet. It's definitely been a big leap of faith, but the blessing in return of just the stories I've gotten to share and, you know, even the wisdom and you talking about, you know, like one of mine is, I don't know when this will run, but soon to be engaged and, you know, thinking about the role of a mother-in-law and all those things. I'm like, oh my goodness, the wisdom I gain from getting to talk to these moms who are steps ahead of me has just been incredible. So
well, I think it's, I loved your title. When I can remember when my children were little and they get in the car and you're, they've got sleep in their eyes and you know, you're licking your, cleaning
finger
their
to get it off. Yeah.
I thought if I ever wrote a book, it'd be where's my mama spit when I need it.
You talked about Drew writing a book. I think you're the one that needs to do it. And that is an excellent title.
You know, my mother passed away a year ago. And I, there's so many things I wish that I had asked her that I thought I knew it all. But I, there's so many things I wish I asked. So,
oh, yeah. I'm sure. Well, you are in such a fun stage of life. All those grandbabies. And I tell you, the most exciting thing to me is hearing about how they all come back at some point. It might be temporary.
So much fun. It is a joy. We are having a blast. So thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Bye.
Isn't she the best? Hey, before you go, be sure to thank our sponsors by checking out their websites listed in our show notes. We invite you to follow us on Instagram and subscribe on YouTube in case you ever want to watch an episode. We are so thankful for each of our listeners. We'll meet you back here next week.